pastor says, turn to Leviticus, if you've been in church any length of time. But today's message title is, we've been in this series, and I've been teaching from this book by Pastor Jimmy Evans, The Overcoming Life, and the title of today's message is Overcoming Shame. Even though this is a series, these are all standalone messages, and so today we're in part four of this eight-part series called The Overcoming Life, because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, and as a believer in Him, victory belongs to you. Amen? But you still have to claim it by faith. So we have been learning how to overcome fear, how to overcome rejection, comparison. Today we're talking about how to overcome shame, unforgiveness, discouragement, sickness, and doubt. Those are the eight things that we're going to look at from the Word of God. But I was really praying about, because I'm going to share several scriptures with you, and if you're taking notes, you can take notes on the back of your bulletin. And on the back of the bulletin, you can just write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I do have 5 points today. We're going to be here for a while. No, I'm just kidding. Is everybody okay? Is everybody awake? Okay. Don't be getting religious on me this morning. But anyway, I want to start off with a story. And I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly. It's my story. It's we've all dealt with shame. Here's the thing that I know. Even though you may be saying, I've never had shame in my life. Wrong. We've all dealt with it. We were all born into sin, and a symptom of the sin is shame. The enemy uses shame against us. And this is after I had been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, called into ministry. I had a situation happen where shame happened. And I'm just going to try to be brief in this story because there's a lot of things to it. And I'm going to own up to this story. I'm going to tell you that I was responsible for it. I was in the wrong. I had sinned. We don't use that word enough in the church anymore. I sinned. It wasn't just a mistake. I sinned. And even this was even after I'd got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and called into ministry. And what happened was I was in a particular church, and I can give you all kind of excuses. I was young in the Lord. I was still wearing the green hard hat, you know, the green guy. I could give you every excuse in the world, but I sinned against God and against man. And this is what happened. I was in ministry, and I was serving in a local church, and I felt like, I'm just going to be honest with you, I had a lot of pride, so I thought, I can pastor better than the pastor. And I was in my 20s, and there was a lot of disgruntled people in this church, and so they caught my ear. You know, there's politics in church that happen, and sad to say, we do our best around here to keep it healthy, have a healthy church life. But anyway, I got caught up in all this. Like I said, it's my fault. I'm not going to blame anybody for it. But I started talking about the pastor with these people, and talking. And I knew that God had called me into the ministry. And anyway, this is... I'm telling you, I'm ashamed even saying this morning, but I felt like the Lord was leading me to share this story today, and I was wrestling with the guys like, God, I really don't want to share that story because they're going to think bad of Pastor Mark, but and Mike is like, share it, man. anyway, I was doing a lot of talking, and my voice in a conversation got picked up on a police scanner. And got back to the pastor. Yeah. So we need to cast the devil out of all police scanners. I'm going to tell you, that was in my walk with God, this was God disciplining me because He disciplines those that He loves. He said, yes, I have called you to be my mouthpiece, but you need to watch your mouth. And so I had a lot of humbling to do and everything, and I was very ashamed that I did it. I repented of it, asked for forgiveness, did everything. But in this certain situation, and I don't know if you've ever been in through anything like this, I know we've all dealt with shame in some way, form, or fashion, but in this situation, I felt like shame was held over my head to control me and manipulate me. It got out of control. There was a big board meeting in this church. It was not good. I ended up leaving the church because of this, resigning my position. And I had really thought in this particular denomination, I was going through their schooling to be a pastor, to be in ministry. And I thought, man, I'm done. I'm over. It's over. I'm never going to be able to get in ministry. I've never been to seminary, never done any of that. And I prayed about it because I had been through their first year of schooling, and the Lord spoke to me, and I know the Lord told me to do this. It wasn't because of this situation, because I really sought this out. I was like, I don't want to do this because of this situation that happened. But the Lord told me to relinquish, don't go through, you know, this particular denomination. And the reason why was, I can look back now, hindsight being 2020, because I was like, okay, God, then evidently I didn't hear you to call me into ministry, because you're telling me to relinquish what I've already been through 1 year of this schooling. And now, hindsight being 2020, it was the Lord saying, no, there's a lot of shame going on because of this, and I need you to know that I called you and not a denomination. So that was what was going on. I can look back and see that now. At that particular time, I didn't. And so I relinquished that, and then I thought, man, I'm done. I was so ashamed of what I'd done. People seeing you on the streets, you know, they've heard the story, and I'm just like, I'm an outcast. I felt horrible. I felt bad. I even had somebody, and during that time, I felt like I was called into ministry. I was telling family and friends this. I had someone tell me that I was crazy. You know, I was a religious nut freak, and I was like, well, I'm agreeing with you. I am. You know, I think I'm hearing God, and God called me in the ministry, and then God tells me to relinquish what I've been. It was a crazy time. When this happened, 18 months later, my son dies. The enemy used this against me. And was like, the enemy was on my shoulder and said, because you did that shameful thing, this caused this to happen. And that's condemnation. At the time, I didn't know that, but that's the voice of the enemy. And I was, you talk about shame all over me, and then the enemy is using that situation to tell me. And God finally got through to me, and that's why, you know, and I've told you guys this a lot, why I say around here, God is good, God is with me, and God is for me. And I know some of your stories around here and the shame that you have dealt with or are dealing with, and I'm telling you, God is good, God is with you, and God is for you today. And that my son didn't pass away because of something I did 18 months earlier. Amen? Amen. That wasn't it. I did, yes, I was in the wrong, and I repented of it and moved on. But it took me some time. But the enemy, what he was doing was wreaking havoc in my mind using this shameful situation and circumstance that I'd went through to just destroy me and to try to get me out of the ministry and everything else. And thank God he didn't succeed. And this message today is some of the things that I have walked through and dealt with. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's still days to this day, and that happened back in 1997 is when that happened. There's still times to this day that I have to overcome that thought. The enemy still uses that and whispers in my ear. But I just want to lead you through some scriptures this morning. I wanted to start off with that story to make you understand that I am your pastor, but I'm not a superhero. I'd go through the same stuff you guys go through. And I've dealt with the same shame that you deal with. But in Genesis 2, verse 25, we're going to go all the way to Genesis, and by the time we get done today, I'm going to even have a scripture out of Revelation today for you. But in Genesis 2, verse 25, it says, and they were both naked, talking about Adam and Eve, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And every time we read that, we immediately go to the physical, and sure, that was in the physical. But they were naked spiritually, emotionally, mentally, relationally, not just physically, every area of their life. And this was the Garden of Eden at this time in Genesis chapter 2. The fall happened in Genesis chapter 3. At this time, the garden was a place of no shame. No shame. No shame in the garden. And the best way I can describe this, and I don't understand the fullness of this, even as a, you know, and I love studying the Word of God. The best way I can describe it, what the Garden of Eden was like, if you've ever seen children around the house, they don't care if they're wearing clothes or not. They're just free. They're unashamed. Yeah, they're having a good time because they know mommy and daddy are going to take care of everything. That was the way the Garden of Eden was. But now, okay, this is not the church. This is not the naked church. Yeah, Clark's back here going, I'm fixing to rip it. This is not, all right, this is not the naked church today. All right, now let's jump to Genesis chapter 3 in verses 6 through 11 where it talks about the fall. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. In verse 8 it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now here's what happens. This started in the Garden of Eden, shame. How shame changes us. Number one, shame changes the way we see and think about ourselves. That's exactly what shame does. Then the second thing that shame does is shame changes the way we interact with others and destroys our potential for relationships. It destroyed the relationship that Adam and Eve had. And then number three, it led into shame changes the way we think about God and relate to Him. And that all happened in Genesis chapter 3 in the fall of man. Now, here's the definition of shame. The definition of shame is a feeling of being inwardly flawed, of not measuring up. And shame says there is just something wrong with me. That's what shame says to a person. Now, I'm going to give you, and I know I'm going fast, but, and you can, you can always ask for my notes and I'll email them to you and everything. But I'm going to give you 10 quick things here how to recognize shame in your life. Number one, having a fear of exposure and intimacy. You just have a fear of being exposed and even being intimate in relationships. Number two, never feeling like you do well enough, being driven by performance and perfectionism. Remember, it's not about performance. God is a God of grace. He's not a God of works. Amen. Number three, being devastated by criticism, being overly critical of ourselves or others, having extremes of bitterness, rage, compliance, and needing to please people. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the cap. Number five, being primarily motivated by what other people think, being primarily motivated by fear of failure or fear of rejection. And number seven is underperforming to avoid risk. Some people go the opposite direction, so they underperform to avoid risk. Number eight, feeling self-hate and self-deprecation. Number nine, measuring your value and others' value by how well you or they perform. And then number 10, rejecting or not associating with others who do not measure up to your standards. That's how we recognize shame when we know that it's going on. Now, we're going to go to the Leviticus, like I told you, and there's a reason why. Because we're going to have to look at two goats. Look at somebody and say, we got to look at two goats. Okay, we got to look at two goats. Because they point to Jesus. And it's in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. It says, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Everybody say scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat, verse 10, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. Then if you jump down to Leviticus 16 to verse 20, it says, and when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. And I want to tell you right now, if you want to write out there in the margin of your Bible, if you're looking in your Bible, that suitable man, that is a prophetic picture of Jesus right there. he was the suitable man, because you wanted a man that was going to be able to take this goat out into the wilderness, and that goat is never coming back. That shame that was on him from the sin. The first goat took care of the sin. Second goat took care of the shame. And so you wanted a suitable man to take that thing back out into the wilderness so it would never come back to the camp. Because if that goat showed back up at camp going, bah, it reminded everybody of their sin. Hadn't been taken care of. And so that suitable man was Jesus. And he took care of our sin and our shame at the cross. Jesus was the two goats. That's a prophetic picture of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And then in verse 22, it says, the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. So Jesus, look at somebody and say, Jesus is the two goats. Now look at somebody and say, Jesus is the lamb. All right, we're having a little zoology lesson. We've looked at the serpent. We know who that is, the enemy, the devil, Satan. Then we looked at two goats. Now we're looking at a lamb. All right? That's supposed to be funny, but I guess my dry sense of humor. Okay, John 1, verse 29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So there's Jesus as the Lamb of God taking away the sin. And then in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I'm trying to get this point across to you today with Scripture is Jesus took our sin, but he also took our shame. And some of you know that he took our sin, but some of you don't know that he took our shame. And I dealt with, and so the enemy knows that, and so the enemy uses shame against you. And he's so good at this and so crafty at it, it's got to the point, he can convince people that you need to wait till you get cleaned up to go to God. Here's the deal, none of us can get cleaned up enough to come to God. We need to come just as we are, okay? That's the kind of God that we serve. He wants us to come. There's no shame or no condemnation in God's camp. If you're hearing that shame and that condemnation and that guilt, I don't care what you've done. Listen to this, Pastor Day. I don't care what you have done. If you're hearing that condemnation, that guilt, and that shame, that is from the enemy. And you've got to tell him to stop in the name of Jesus. That I am saved and I'm set free and he's taken care of my past, my present, and my future sins. Amen. So here's my sermon in a sentence today. I always like to give you one of these. And by the way, you can post and tweet these in church. I'll let you get on your... The good news, Jesus is the Lamb who takes away our sins and the scapegoat who takes away our shame. And you've got to know that, and you've got to know it by faith. Are there days that I forget this? Yeah. There's days because the enemy is very good at it. Starts coming with that shame. Who do you think you are? Oh, you're Pastor Mark. Oh, yeah, you know, and you're thinking these thoughts, and you're doing this, and you said that, and you thought that. Yeah. And I have to remember, no, it's not about me. It's not about performance. It's I've put my faith in Jesus. He has taken away my sin and my shame. And everybody said, and you got to remind yourself of that every day. Now, I'm going to go through five steps that I believe these are good things for you to help you in overcoming shame, because we all deal with this. I don't care how saved and sanctified you are and how filled with the Spirit you are, we all deal with shame. Am I telling the truth this morning? Am I just preaching to myself? All right, five steps to overcome shame. Number one is be naked without shame. Now, I'm not telling you, Clark, don't take your shirt off in the sound booth. I'm talking about being open and honest with your relationship with God. He already knows everything anyway. Be open and honest with him and open and honest with those that are close around, not everybody. You can't just air out everything to everybody around you. You know, your spouse, there's certain people around you that you can be naked with without shame. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I knew immediately when that happened with me back in that situation that I was doing things in the dark, talking. And then it got exposed. It got brought into the light. And I'm thankful now that it did, because it set me free, because I need to get out from underneath that bondage. And so what I'm telling you here today, I don't care what you're going through, it is better to tell the truth than and be in the light than to hide in darkness. Amen. And lie and try to cover up stuff. Because I've been there and done that, and here's the good thing about God. If you're walking with God and you love God and you're trying to hide something, here's the deal. Be sure that sin will always find you out. And the reason why is because God loves you. So you might as well just bring it into light now. Amen? Amen. It's better to tell the truth, promise you. And I had to come clean. Here I am. I screwed up. I messed up. There's another word for it, the biblical word. I sinned. And here I am. But here's the deal. God forgave me. Now, did people forgive me? No. Like I said, that shame was held over my head. And don't let people do that to you.
Amen.
Amen. God forgives you, but don't let people hold shame over your head. Don't let them do that. All right, here's number two. Number two, big one, because I've been trying to, in my story, take responsibility for your own behavior. Yes. And here's what happened in the garden. We go back in the garden, and we've all done this, is as soon as shame shows up, we want to blame somebody else. All right, I want to blame, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. then we're blaming the government. We're blaming the Republicans and the Democrats. We blame our boss. We blame our pastor. We blame our coach. We blame our teachers. Let me just keep going down the list who we blame. But we need to take responsibility for our own behavior. Yes. To overcome shame. We can't get in that blame game. There's been times where here's another transparency. If you're married in here, how many times have you blamed your spouse? Okay, the Adam and Eve, it's true. Well, God, it's this sister you gave me. God's like, no, Mark, I gave you an angel. It's you that's acting like the devil right now, and let the devil get on you. But we've all done that. And so take responsibility for your own behavior. And when you do that, I promise you, your marriage will be better. Your relationships will be better. Whatever relationship, everything will be better if you take responsibility for your own behavior instead of blaming everybody else. But we love to blame somebody, don't we? I blame my dad. You know, we blame our parents for lots of stuff. No, you need to take responsibility for your own behavior. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right, number three. Dad said amen to a big one on that one. Number three, believe you are forgiven and shame has been removed. All these are big, but this is where the rubber meets the road, because this takes faith. This is faith in action. This is where you've got to know that Jesus took my sin and he took my shame. So believe you are forgiven and shame has been removed. You're probably, you know, the enemy will make sure that he'll send somebody across your path to remind you that you have shame on you. And you've got to look at you know, and just say, nope, shame off me. I don't have no shame on me anymore because I am a child of the Most High God. So it takes faith. And this is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, and then Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now here's something that God does that we can't do. And here's another thing, a little side note for you. In the garden, when the fall happened, there was more that happened to us in us who we are. I can't wait to get to heaven to find out how we were supposed to really operate before sin caused all this problem. Because I think sin even helps us makes us remember stuff that we've done in the past. Because God says in his word that not only does he forgives us, he forgets it. That's Psalms 103:12. The enemy knows, because of the fall and the Adamic nature that we're in, he knows, okay, yeah, they can believe by faith that God forgives, but I'm going to never let them forget. And I'm going to keep bringing that up, and I'm going to bring people across their path, remind them. And so that's where that renewing the mind according to the Word of God. God forgives and God forgets. Can God help you forget? I believe he can by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
Amen. But you're going to have to give it to him every day and maybe moment by moment. Okay, here's number four. Fight Satan with the blood and with the word of God. Here's a good one to keep in your arsenal. I love this scripture. I don't know how many times I've used this one in my life. It's Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Amen.
And oh, that's a good one. You guys need to put that on your refrigerator. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Or in your vehicle, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Everybody say, despising the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus completely and eternally defeated shame on the cross, and he defeated it for us too. Shame off you. Look at somebody say, shame off you. Shame off you. There's no shame for those, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The other way that we overcome, and we talked about this last week, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. When you have the enemy show up with a lot that the shame stuff, you start talking about Jesus and the blood and quoting scripture, he's going to leave every time. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's how you do it. And then number five, forgive every person who has shamed or hurt you. That's tough. Yep. With God, it's possible. You can't do it in your own human love. You need God's love operating in you. Earlier, when I was talking about this pastor, years later, we got to talk. Forgiveness happened. It was awesome. God is good. I remember us doing a funeral together. And that's where it happened at. Before the funeral, we got together, and there was amends made, forgiveness. It was awesome. God is good. And here's what I want to... This is what, by faith, you have to believe this, guys. We were created to live without shame. A serpent ruined that in the Garden of Eden, but a goat and a lamb solved that problem on the cross, and his name was Jesus. Now we can live free from the curse of shame for all of eternity.
Amen.
And that's the way God wants you to live. And guys, that's the good news of the gospel. That is the good news. And I'm going to leave this slide up here so that if you're taking notes, you can write down those five steps to overcoming shame. How many of you have dealt with shame in your life? Okay, everybody in here. I have. And I hope this has helped you. But what I want to do, and I want our praise team to come back up here and we're going to go out with a praise song here in just a second. We're going to go out with a glorious day because that song talks about what all happened for us and Jesus took our sin and our shame. But I'm just going to do this as a corporate prayer this morning. And I want you to go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes and just focus on your relationship with the Lord this morning. And first thing I want to do is to make sure that everybody here under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online and those that will be hearing this on the radio is I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to make sure that you know that he took your sin and your shame at the cross. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said amen. Now, if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday up here in our baptistry. Even if it took me, I got baptized twice. So if you've been baptized before, I've had many people ask me this. I was baptized as a little child. Maybe that was you, and you want to do it again as an adult. I encourage you to do that. If you feel the Holy Spirit saying, you need to do this again, please get with me after service, and we can get that going for next Sunday. But before we go out with this praise song, I just felt by the Holy Spirit, and I want everyone to bow your heads in here and close your eyes right now, and there's nothing spiritual about that because I just don't want people looking around, and I just want you to focus on your, but I just feel like that there was somebody here today that you really needed this message, and I'm not going to have you stand up, I'm not going to have you come up here and take me by the hand, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand up and just say, that was me. I needed this today as an act of faith. If that was you, I want you to raise your hand. Yes, amen. There's hands going up all around here. Amen. We've all dealt with shame. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And I just want to talk to you for just a second. The Lord wants to set you free today. He really does. And there's, for some, I know I was there at one point, that it just feels like, golly, this is just the same old mountain. I keep coming up to this in my walk with God, and then the shame shows up, shame shows up, shame shows up. And or somebody will remind you about what happened, 30 years ago or 20 years ago. And it just seems like the devil just keeps throwing it in your face. I'm telling you, you've been on the defense too much. And the Holy Spirit is saying through this word today that it's time for you to get on the offense and to start quoting Scripture back. That's how Jesus overcome the enemy in the wilderness, was, it is written, it is written. It is written. And as you say that, and there was times, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't even believe what I was saying. Because I was like, yeah, I believe that. I was agreeing with the devil. But as you keep saying, no, it is written, I am saved, I am healed, I am set free. No, that's not who I am. That's not, I know that people have put that label on me, but that's not who I am. I'm a child, I'm a son of the Most High God, I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And you got to keep saying that. And as you keep saying it to the enemy, you're going to start believing it, and your faith is going to start getting stronger and stronger and stronger until you finally get around that mountain. Until you finally get around that mountain. I know that word is for somebody here today, because you've been around this mountain many, many, many times. And God's saying, He's saying, I love you just the way you are. You don't have to perform. You don't have to jump through hoops for me. You don't have to do this or to do that. I love you just the way you are, right? Just like you are. Quit performing. Quit trying to it's your faith that pleases God, not your works. It's your faith that pleases God. Faith in the freedom that He has purchased for you by His blood at the cross. And God's saying, just receive that today by faith and be free. Be free. And He's wanting that to be your mind to be set free today in Jesus' name. And so, God, I just thank you and I praise you that you're just releasing that word over all of us today, God, that we're going to be really set free from shame as we leave here today. God, that shame is going to be finally off of us, and that we're going to know that we're a child of the Most High God, that we're going to know that we're a son and a daughter of the Most High God in Jesus' name. God, just minister to that word to every person here today, to those that lifted their hands. God, minister that word to them today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God is good. and all the time. Right, I want everybody to stand up because we're going to go out with a glorious day, but I want to speak a blessing over you. Can I do that? And when we get through with this song, you're going to be dismissed, but I'm going to speak this blessing over your day. But we're going to go out with this song today. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have overcame shame, God, in the name of Jesus, that it was overcame by Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. He overcame sin and shame for us. And God, I want to speak a blessing over your people today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. And I want you guys to be here tonight. Remnant's going to be here, and Ty and Debbie Barker from Tulsa at 6 p.m. Bring your family and your friends. Amen.
Oh my. you.